Father, we bow before you, just joyful to be in your presence and to pray and to hear your word a moment this morning. And so, Lord, lead us and guide us in this time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing a couple of verses of Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me. One more time. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. And take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Well, turn in your Bibles today to back to Luke 15. This parable of the lost son has been referred to by some as kind of the pinnacle of the parables, kind of the royal parable, kind of the most complete parable in a sense. And last time we looked at the youngest son, the sinner, the temporalness of sin, the glitterness of sin, the attractiveness of sin, and we could see ourselves as, in so many times, as the younger son who would go for the glitter, and yet that glitter so quickly turns into a disaster, and the pleasures are only for a moment, and then they run out, and then misery follows. Whereas if we don't leave the Father and we stay with Him, His love never ends, right? And so we talked about that. We talked a little bit about His love for the Son and how He was watching for Him, and He ran to meet Him, and He embraced Him, even though He was probably filled with pig smell and so forth, which would have been so despicable to, particularly to the Jews. And but what did his dad do? He threw on the royal robe. He put the signet ring on his hand. He put sandals on his feet, which were probably pretty beaten up from his trip home. And then he brought him in, and he killed the fatted calf, the best calf, the calf, especially treasured calf, so to speak. And then they had they made merry. And we kind of stopped there because that was kind of a full load of all of the things that we were really being shown by the Lord. And so I just wanted to continue that today now in verse 25. Now his older son was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And the servant said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But the elder son was what? Angry, and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving with you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. The father said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and alive again, and is alive again and was lost and is found. Now, I think I mentioned to you last week that I could certainly see myself as the younger son, certainly enticed by sin and sometimes yielding to the temptation of it, and looking at it, it looks so attractive, right? But as much as I could relate to the younger son, I can relate myself to the older son about 10 times. Because here we have an older son, I keep getting mixed up. Here we have the older son who's been faithful. He's never left. He's always been obedient. He's been there helping his parent. And, you know, we see this even today in so many times when parents die. We see that faithful, staunch daughter or son who has stood up all these years for their parent. And then we see the one or two or three black sheep in the family who have been just nothing but pain to their parents, right? And we see this self-righteousness of the one who has been faithful. And they can't understand why the unfaithful one is such a wretch. And it just, so we see this here, don't we? Because here, the son was in the field, and he came and drew near to the house. He heard music. I was really impressed with this word music. It's the only time in the Bible this word is used for music. This is not just a flute or a harp. This is a symphony. The word is symphonic. So he heard the symphony, meaning that as Jesus is telling this parable, this is not just a small party that's being given for the son. You know, they've killed the fatted calf. He brings in a symphony, in effect. And so here he comes in. What's going on? And the servant comes out and says, well, your younger son has returned and they killed the fatted calf. And of course, he hears the sound of the symphony. And then there is making merry. There's dancing. There's dancing too. And of course, if you've ever seen the Jews dance, you know how they dance, right? So there is a party going on, a big time party. And you can just imagine here this dour, self-righteous, and of course this is a picture of the Pharisees that Jesus is telling this to. He's telling this to the Pharisees. And they probably have been going along pretty well for the first part, you know, because they're not the sinner that ever strayed. No, no, you know. I'm glad I'm not like that publican over there who's such a wretch, but I'm tithing and you know, all this stuff. And they see the Father's love. Yeah, we know the Father loves us and so forth. But now they get hit right between the eyes with the oldest son. Because this is exactly what they are. And it's exactly what so many of us are, I think. Self-righteous Christians. And in my case, and maybe yours, we've never really, as we look back over our life, we've never really had a disastrous period of our life where we got into heavy duty into drugs or heavy duty into alcohol and did all kinds of crazy things that you do when you get into those things. And it's awfully easy to say, well, I never have sinned like this brother or this sister over here. No wonder they're miserable. I mean, no wonder they have half their brain cells eaten out. Look how they lived. But I've never done that, you know. And it's so easy to fall into that, isn't it? And notice the response here. 28, verse 28, he was angry. Angry. Can't you see a little bit of Jonah here in this story? Jonah was to go to Nineveh, but Jonah got angry. He didn't want to go to Nineveh because he knew God's mercy. He knew God would save those, and he could not stand to think that God would save those rotten people. And here's the older brother, the same thing. He was angry. He gets so angry he won't go in. Can't you see this little boy out here pouting? I'm not going in. I'm not going in. But notice the Father's love. The Father's love for us, who are stuffy and prideful and arrogant and so wretched, he shows us the same love, really, as he showed the younger son, because he went out and he pleaded with him. Pleaded with him. Notice the mercy there. When you have somebody coming to you who's really been a mess or really been terrible to you in your life, and do you plead with them to, in effect, return, to come back from the dead to the life like we had here? But we see the Father's love, and so the Father is pleading with him, showing this great love to the righteous, self-righteous, as well as to the outright sinner, to the older brother as well as the younger. We're in Luke 15, verse 29 right now. So here's the older son answering to his father. Notice the self-righteousness here. Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. Now just look at that. Here's this I, right? He's so self-righteous. And do you see your self-righteousness at times when you, I've never done that sin? I mean, this guy leaves his wife and runs off with a whorish woman and leaves his kids and, you know, we husbands who have not done that can look at that and say, well, I never did that. You know, how could that guy be so stupid to leave such a beautiful family and go off with that worthless crust of bread kind of a thing? But here he says, many years I have been serving you. And notice the other tendency we do. We do it, I do it all the time. I always make myself look better than I am, and I always make the other person look worse than I am, because we're going to see this here in his attitude. I've been serving you, not, you know, the years I should have, but it's many years, and I've never transgressed your commandment at any time. Isn't that self-righteous? Never sinned at any time. Yeah, you never gave me, in effect, so much as a young goat, let alone the fatted calf. You never even gave me a goat. You didn't even give me a crumb. That what? I might make merry with my friends. So notice him rejecting the father, being very critical of the father, harsh to the father's love towards the younger son in the restoration. And here he is really saying, I value making merry with my friends more than I value my relationship with you, Dad, in a sense, is what he's saying here. But as soon as this son of yours, not my brother, he's not referring to him as his brother, is he? As this son of yours, who what? Has devoured your livelihood. Is that true? Not really. The younger son took one-third of the inheritance, which was his. He took it early, yes. But his wasting that one-third didn't have anything to do with the other two-thirds that's still there. He's not devoured that. But he makes it sound as though, here, this horrible, worthless son of yours has wasted all of your inheritance. No, that's not true. He's making him look worse than he is, isn't he? He devoured it with harlots, and you killed the fatted calf for him. Just look at the critical nature there. Now, do you see that in yourself ever? Well, I see it in myself. So critical, so self-righteous. And now the father says, son, you're always with me. All that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your son was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. Now, we have to remember that the beauty of the Lord in his mercy toward us is that our love, mercy, inheritance from him is never diminished by his restoring a fallen one. The older son here is not losing anything by having the younger son restored, is he? Now, with man, it doesn't work that way. I mean, you know, usually I win, you lose, or you win and I lose, or in some cases in man's, we both lose. But in God's economy, everybody wins, don't they? And so the son has no right to say, my position is worsened now because you have been merciful to my younger brother, because you've restored my brother. In other words, he's not giving up his two-thirds of the inheritance. He's not being denied his father's love. And his father says, son, you're always with me. All that I have is yours. Mm-hmm. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. So, may we look at ourselves in the light of the younger son as it relates to our yielding to temptation, as it relates to we want it all now, as it relates to I'd rather lose my relationship with you, Father, and enjoy sin for a season than deny it. And we do see ourselves in that area in some cases, don't we? And, of course, we always see the Father's love. I don't think any of us have not seen that. But then we also see us as the self-righteous older brother here, too, don't we? So critical and puffing ourselves up, and we're so good, and we look at others, and we draw out the worst in them, don't we? How often, I do this all the time, it's so hideous. I'm talking to somebody, and I know neither one of them like that person very well. So what do I say? Do I say the best thing about that person? Almost never. I say the worst thing about it. And do you know what he did, or do you know what she did? Can you believe that? I'm sure none of you have ever done that. Never done that. But I do that all the time. So, Lord, help me, help us to not fall into that older brother syndrome because of all of the, I don't think the younger brother here is in effect any worse, his sin is any worse than the older brother's. In fact, the older brother's may be worse. The sin of the Pharisee may be worse than the sin of someone who just totally falls away from the Lord. And we see the Lord's love because he shows his love to all of us, doesn't he? Father, we thank you for this parable. And Lord, we thank you that you show us so much in your word. And Lord, here we are to pray, and we want to pray primarily for others and to intercede for the church and intercede for our pastors and intercede for the lost, intercede for the found. But Lord, also, we thank you that through your word, we can evaluate ourselves, Lord, and we see how desperate in need of you that we are, and how we are just like such wandering self. We're worse than sheep, but I don't think sheep have this selfish, critical attitude that we have. But we wander in our own way like sheep, and yet so often we become so prideful and so self-righteous. So forgive us, Lord, for that. Forgive me for that. And Lord, I'm glad that you allow us to see that as we look at your word. And so may we not forget the three characters here in this parable, the younger son, the love of the father, and the older son. Lead us now in this time of prayer and draw us into one accord through your spirit. And so, Lord, whoever you speak through now, one at a time, may we all join in, and in our spirit we're all together. And keep us together this morning, Lord, and lead us. In Jesus' name, amen.